Please do be seated. What do you do at those times in life when your faith wobbles a bit? Maybe something happens in the world or to friends or family, and you wonder, how can the God of love allow that? Or perhaps God just, over a period of time, seems to have gone AWOL in your life. You want to believe, you really want to believe, but you're not really sure that you can. During the Blitz, as the explosions became frighteningly close, a father ran from a building holding his young son's hand. And in the front garden, there was a big shell hole, and wanting to find shelter as quickly as possible, the father leapt into the shell hole. And he held out his arms to catch his son to come and join him. The son was terrified. He could hear his father's voice telling him to jump. But he said, "But I can't see you." And the father looked up out of the hole at the sun silhouette against the red glow of the burning buildings and called out saying, "Jump, I can see you." The boy jumped because he trusted his father. There are times when having faith seems like a little bit of a leap in the dark, you know, a leap of faith. We want to believe, maybe we can hear that voice calling, but is there really anyone there? What about those times when our circumstances, when what's happening around us, make us question, is God really there? Does he really care? Our gospel reading, and if you've got one of the church Bibles, you might like to turn to it on page 1062 at the very end of Luke's gospel. The gospel reading comes at the end of Easter day. For us, Easter is this joyful celebration because we know how it all works out. We've got the benefit of hindsight. But for the first disciples, it was actually quite a terrifying experience because over a period of 3 years, they've been building up their trust in Jesus. They've been just giving up their lives to follow him around. And then their whole world had crumbled when over just a 24-hour period, he'd been betrayed, arrested, tried, condemned, and crucified. And now, just 3 days later, they were living in fear for their own lives. What if the authorities came after them? Their faith had wobbled big time, and quite understandably so. They'd abandoned their lives to Jesus, given their everything to Jesus, and now he had abandoned them. The circumstances of what were happening around them and what they'd seen happen over the last couple of days just didn't stack up with what they thought was going to be happening, what they believed was true. And then, if you put yourself into their circumstances, it's really quite bizarre what started happening on that Easter day. First, some of the women, and then Simon Peter, and then a couple of the disciples walking out to Emmaus reported seeing visions of a living Jesus. This Jesus who they knew had been killed and put in a tomb. Some of them kept saying, but we've seen him. So when Jesus suddenly appeared in the room with them, appeared in a locked room with them, they were convinced they were seeing a ghost. It's quite natural, really. So how do we get from that point, the point where we have the disciples really terrified, fearful for their own lives, whimpering about ghosts in the room, through to our other reading of disciples as bold witnesses for Jesus. performing a miracle in his name. If you like to take that church Bible, if you've got one, open at page 1062. That's the end of Luke's Gospel. Keep your thumb in there and turn over to the beginning of Acts, which is on page 1092. Our Bibles have the Gospel of John, this bit, between Luke and Acts. And it hides the fact that actually Luke and Acts are two volumes of the same set. They're written by the same author, Luke. They're written to the same intended audience, a guy called Theophilus. And they belong together. I don't want you to tear John out because Alan would never invite me to come and preach again. But imagine it's not there for a moment and you have Luke's two volumes set in front of you going straight from the end of his gospel into the beginning of Acts. Acts chapter 1 follows on from, and actually mostly recaps, the end of Luke 24. He's just reminding Theophilus of where he got to in his first book. Both Luke 24 and Acts 1 cover the ascension, with Acts just going a little bit further, continuing the story. Acts chapter 2 then tells the story of the day of Pentecost. So that's 7 weeks after Easter Day. And then we turn into Acts 3, where we had the reading from, and it immediately follows the description of the day of Pentecost, all bar a little vignette as a portrait of the baby church. So from the end of Luke's Gospel and that passage we heard read on Easter Day through to Peter and John healing the cripple at the temple gate might only have been a couple of months. It's not terribly long. And yet, in Luke, they're terrified. In Acts, they are bold. And they see this crippled beggar at the temple gate, and knowing that they've got no money to give him, yet they got something much, much more precious for him, healing in the name and power of Jesus. And they boldly declare, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Now that's putting your faith really out there, isn't it? Being bold and like that. Being on Easter Day, being associated with Jesus meant the disciples fear for their lives. But now, a few weeks later, it seems to mean a release of divine power through their lives into other people's lives. Then their faith had had a serious wobble. Now it's rock solid, bold, confident. Some transformation, and it's not over a very long period of time. So what caused the turnaround in the disciples' faith? What strengthened their faith? And might it just help us when our faith wobbles? What might transform us from fearful, hesitant disciples of Jesus into bold, confident witnesses to Jesus? And I want to suggest three things from the Luke passage primarily. Three things that strengthen their faith that might build up ours too. Firstly, verses 40 to 43, there's the sheer physical evidence of the resurrection. This was no ghost standing in front of them. He invited them to touch him, to feel him. He ate fish in front of them. For those who had just come back from Emmaus, they'd seen him break bread as well. He does physical stuff. He is a physical resurrected Jesus. The disciples were convinced of the resurrection. They had no doubt because the risen Jesus was right there with them and continued over the coming weeks to repeatedly appear to them. They would have been pretty dumb not to believe in the resurrection. Can you imagine that? So, seeing Jesus, realizing the resurrection is for real, really made a difference to them. And looking at the evidence for the resurrection can settle some of those wobbles we sometimes feel. Because the only sensible explanation, and there's various people who've looked into this and written books about it, but the only sensible explanation for all the facts is, yes, it happened. Yes, Jesus was raised from the dead. And if the resurrection is true, then everything else we know about Jesus makes so much more sense. So much so that the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 says, actually, if the resurrection isn't true, we're all wasting our time. What on earth are we doing? What on earth are we here in church for this morning if the resurrection isn't true? He says, we're of all people most to be pitied if the resurrection isn't true. But the disciples had witnessed him and knew it was true. Secondly, the disciples' faith had been strengthened by a renewed understanding of the Word of God, of the Scriptures. From verse 44 down to 47, Jesus gives them a fresh insight into the Scriptures, especially seeing that Jesus was part of God's salvation plan from the beginning. Understanding he's the long-promised Messiah, as verse 45, Jesus opened their eyes so they could understand the Scriptures. The Bible can be a dry book until God himself opens our minds to understand it and it impacts us. So when we read it, let's ask the Holy Spirit to breathe understanding into us, that it wouldn't be a dry book, but it would be a living word of God. God's word builds up our faith. He speaks to us through it. He encourages us through it. And regular Bible reading is one way of strengthening our faith. And then thirdly, the disciples' faith has been their faith, their confidence, the power of God in their lives has just been totally transformed by the day of Pentecost, by the coming of the Holy Spirit. The promise is there in the very last verse we heard read, verse 49, where Jesus promises them, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And in the slightly longer Acts 1 version of the same events, Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. And that promise we know was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, 7 weeks after Easter Day, as the Holy Spirit's poured out, not just on the apostles, but on all believers. And the Holy Spirit is the ongoing presence of Jesus in the lives of believers, not someone out there, but someone in here. The life of Jesus was about to invade the lives of his followers. And the work of Jesus was going to continue through them. On Easter morning, they'd felt abandoned by Jesus. God the Son was no longer with them. But on Pentecost morning, God the Spirit took up residence within them and came and lived through them. And that same life and power is there for us. The life and power of the Spirit, the life of Jesus is to be lived through us. If we will welcome him into our lives, if we will open our lives to his work and let him use us for his purposes. So the huge transformation from frightened disciples of Easter Day in Luke 24 to bold witnesses in Acts 3 is largely down to these three factors. The physical evidence of the resurrection. Jesus isn't dead, he's alive. He wasn't defeated on the cross by our sin, he was victorious over it. Life doesn't end with death. There's eternity ahead of us. And actually seeing Jesus just brought those truths home in such an amazing way. Then there was the renewed understanding of the Word of God. As the scriptures came alive, as he opened their minds to what was said. And then the coming of the Spirit, bringing the power and life of Jesus into their very lives. Does your faith sometimes wobble a bit? If so, maybe one of these three can help transform you into a renewed follower of Jesus. Building your confidence, building your faith, strengthening your faith. Take another look at the evidence for the resurrection. Ask yourself, you know, does anything else make more sense than this being God's Son, victorious over sin and death, offering you resurrection, power, and life? Set aside time to regularly read the scriptures, and each time ask God to open your mind to what he wants to say to you through it. There's some tips on the back of the news sheet about resources for that. Invite the Holy Spirit to transform your life, to work the power and life of Jesus into your life and through your life. This tiny, terrified body of disciples were transformed, and within weeks, thousands were being added to their number. They were turning the world upside down, starting in Jerusalem. They were continuing the work of Jesus, but multiplied now through each and every disciple. They were continuing to witness to the life of Jesus, and the church was born. If our lives were similarly transformed, if we were similarly living the power and life of Jesus every day, wherever we are, imagine the impact on Westcott, on the places where we spend our daily lives, rubbing shoulders with those who don't yet believe, on our homes, on our neighbourhoods, and on our families. Let's pray.